What's good? My name is Chris Styles. This is Traveling Anonymous. Y'all already know what time it is at this point. I think these introductions is getting a little redundant, but you know, you still got to do them. I'm sitting here in a motherfucking top floor of the Westin right now. I got my guests with me. I think this right here is going to be probably one of my most just impactful episodes, just on a whole different scale. You know, this like really might change like the trajectory of like what Trappin' Anonymous is and what it's going to mean to everybody else, because like I told you before, you know, trapping is just, if you listen to the second episode, I just said trapping was just like anything, any type of hustle. You getting up and you going to work, you got two kids, single parent, you know what I mean? Or you paying off your student loans and you trying to make sure you trying to find your way in this world. You know, you trapping. Trapping is basically anything. It's a way of life, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to necessarily be these illegal things or things of that nature. So what's special about this episode is I have a young black entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying? And I just think this episode is going to really mess y'all head up. You know, it's going to really give y'all a lot of advice. It's going to give y'all a lot of financial literacy. It's really going to give y'all, you know, just the different tools that you need when you're talking about being successful as an entrepreneur, but also being successful in whatever realm you're living in, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is you're doing. This is still Trappin' Anonymous. My name is Chris Styles. This is the Black Entrepreneur Anonymous, live from LA. We out here. Let's get it. What's good, man?
What up? What up, Chris?
You know what I'm saying? First and foremost, I appreciate you for flying me out here and putting me in this new environment. You know, I never thought that idea that I came up with, you know what I'm saying, chilling on a beach, would actually be able to touch over 150,000 people, and not just that, but just like take me around the country, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, just being able to, you know, be able to do something that I love to do, this journalistic work, and to have this kind of impact, you know, I just think it's so special. You know, I'm grateful to God and I'm grateful to you,
yes,
you know what I'm saying, for having me out here and wanting to be on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, by the way.
Yeah, wanting to be on the show. And yo, man, this is gonna be the shit, man. We just gonna jump right into it. Talk to me a little bit.
Okay. So you kind of want to know my background, obviously, how I got started.
I want to know your childhood.
Oh,
interesting. Let's go a little bit deeper than that. How did you grow up?
So obviously I'm from the inner city. Inner city kid growing up. Had high aspirations. Always, you know, looked for the screen, obviously, TV, the media.
Oh, so you always wanted to be like in some kind of form of like entertainment?
Correct.
Like,
yeah. So, you know, obviously my first introduction to that world was through sports.
Right.
So, you know, average inner city kid looking for some specific role models or whatever, obviously you would gravitate towards the sports industry to do so. And that's what captivated my attention. So
when you say you played ball, right?
Right.
How good were you in basketball? Like, we want to, did you just like go to the park and play pickup games or like what? Like,
yeah. No, I'm going to be modest. I mean, I was one of the top, you know, players coming into high school.
That's huge. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to undermine that success in any capacity. Yeah, like, that's kind of huge.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, for me personally, it was an accomplishment. Given my background and what I came from.
Right.
Obviously, I came in a single parent household.
Wow.
I had a lot of siblings. And
any relationship with your dad at all?
No.
Or you was with your mom? Or
yeah, I was with my mom, obviously, okay, the length of the time. But my father was actually incarcerated.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's been incarcerated for over 20 years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And so I never really got that experience of having, you know, that male role model, that male figure in your life. I think I didn't understand it until I got to a certain point in my life. You know what I mean?
So 100%, like, man, because I, you know, like growing up in inner city, it's just so common. You know,
right.
Single parent households is, you know, it's tough, but it's like it's something that, you know, unfortunately is it's something that we see all the time.
Right. It's normal. We become numb to it. Like, it's funny. A lot of my friends didn't even know that that was the case.
They thought you had both parents.
They thought everything was fine. And I thank my mom for that, because she's definitely made an effort to kind of fill that hole.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I never really experienced not having that father in your life. Like, for me, it was normal. Yeah.
Wow. So you're sitting here, you're playing, you know, top city boy, you're on one of the best teams in the city.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? You're playing against people that are, I'm assuming, now NBA players.
Right, correct.
How the fuck do you stop doing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You probably
thought
you was maybe overseas or in the league or somewhere, like, what?
Right, right.
Why'd you stop doing it?
Well, you know, as you get older, a lot of things start to come into perspective. So for me, I kind of phased out of that life. However, due to my background, my circumstance, and people who are around me at the time,
yeah,
I was kind of forced in it. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you got friends telling you, yo, if you don't play ball or if you don't hoop, you're going to be nobody. You know what I mean? You're not going to amount to anything. So for me, you kind of felt the pressure, like, right, damn, I got to really, you know, make something happen. So, but I've always been curious, man. Like even when I was, you know, younger, you know, I've always been into, like, science and, like, technology. And
we was talking earlier about this, you know, before we got on the podcast. So you see, you've always been curious, like, give me a point, because we were talking and told me about, you know, a time.
Right.
I want you to share that, because I think that's a very cool
story. It's funny. I was on a date, actually.
Yeah.
It's funny. This is not normally a conversation a guy and a girl would have.
Yeah.
But for me, I looked to the stars, mm-hmm, and I said to the lady, young lady, I said, do you know how long it takes for the light coming from the star to come to Earth, to be received in Earth?
Like, what? Who the fuck asks?
That shit is crazy, bro. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like,
how long does it take for the star's light to come to Earth so that we can visibly see? I got.
So yeah, and it was just very.
What was her response like?
Oh, she was in awe. Like, she didn't know what to say. She thought I was crazy.
Like, who asked?
Right. Like, no one normally asks a question like that, especially if you're, you know, you're young and, you know, obviously you're cultured and you're hip. Yeah. You're not going to ask a question like that.
I brought that up because I think that's important to the type of person you are, right? And it taps into, like, your curiosity for just random things. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
the fact that you, I'm sitting there, I wonder how long it takes for the light. How long does it take, by the way? Because that shit kind of fucked me up.
Well, nah, man. It takes 10 years.
But think
about this, though.
Smart nigga.
Yeah, which is crazy. Let me touch on that topic. So it literally takes 10 years for a light to come to Earth. So it's actually visible to your eye, right? So in reality, you're really looking into the past, which is crazy. So it was a really interesting perspective that I had.
I don't know if this is corny or not, but, like, that kind of speaks to, like, who we are as individuals, right? Our personal light, our personal whatever, right? And it just could take time for it to manifest, and it could take time for people to really see you for your talent and how powerful you really are as an individual. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're all stars, right? But it just, the light is just taking time in order to hit other people's eyes. You was already a star. You was a star right then and there when you walking down the street, right? But it just took time for the light to really, other people could see it, because I feel like you always had it in you.
Right, right, right. Yeah, man, definitely.
So what kind of, were you like a straight A student? Like, were you like, did you like, what was you in like grade school?
I was the opposite of a straight A student, right?
What?
I was literally the prototypical, you know, like, just clown, bad kid. I was a clown. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I got kicked out of elementary school. That's how you know how
much. Are you serious?
Yeah, my mind frame was not there at the time, right?
So, wilding.
But I was young. Obviously, I was immature. I had no guidance.
Right.
But it took me to have those failures to kind of, you know, slowly come into my manhood.
Right.
And obviously, that's a reflection of what goes on in life. You kind of have to evolve. You know, and I was young. I didn't have the influence, but, you know, in time, you develop it. and you kind of learn from your experience. Well, yeah, man.
So, you know, we as we go through your from your childhood and you getting kicked out of school and, you know what I'm saying, just all of these things that help your makeup to who you are today.
Right.
At what point did you realize, okay, I don't want to work a regular job?
That's interesting. I just feel like, you know, you're kind of born knowing whether you want to be an entrepreneur or not. I've always been very entrepreneurial in anything that I've done.
Okay, give me your first venture.
I'll give you an example. When I went to my first high school, mm-hmm. right, I was playing sports. I was playing ball. And a lot of the kids there, they liked me so much that this one kid actually had, his dad owned a Nextel store, right? So what he did was he would take his Nextel from his dad.
Oh, the little chirp phones.
Yeah. Those little speaker phones, right? So he'll take the phone from his dad and he'll give it to me and I will resell it. So I was playing ball, like, and I still had that entrepreneurial mind frame.
Wow.
Yeah. And it kind of followed me till today. Yes. That's where it kind of conceived and where I got the entrepreneurial mindset from.
So you got kicked out of school.
Right.
How were things at home with mom? Were you and mom on good terms?
Did your mom
ever be like, did you and your mom go at it a lot? Like,
right. Well, obviously, you know, I can talk about my mom's background briefly. She's worked within a specific industry for a few years, for a long period of time. So I feel like that mindset definitely had a clash. Like her mindset with against mine,
of course,
definitely clashed at times. So, I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, I actually created my first blog site, and I was making $800 a week.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I was making $800 a week in passive income from
doing what?
From my blog site. Well, I basically created a blog site right about cars, which is crazy, right? It's kind of weird, like, and it didn't match my personality. So on the surface, I'm this person who's cool, who hoops, mm-hmm. who plays ball, but in the background, I'm really, like, you know, a fake nerd in that regard.
You're who you really are.
Yeah, like, I'm really cool, you know what I mean? I'm really curious, and I don't think being a nerd is corny. Like,
right.
I feel like nerds are billionaires right now, you feel me? And the cool dudes are either locked up or broke.
Or flexing on the grand.
And you know what I mean? So, me personally, I kind of always wanted to be somebody who was monetizing everything and making money, so... Being a nerd was cool to me. But anyway, so I created an app. I mean, not app. That was, we're going to get to that in a minute. Okay. But I created a blog site.
Right.
It was making $800 a month through Google AdSense. And, you know, my mom would come home every day and she'll see me on the computer. She'd be like, why are you always on the computer? You're either on the computer or you're playing ball. You're not working. You don't have a job.
Wow.
And she kicked me out. 17.
Here you are sitting there making $800 a week.
$800 a week.
From ad revenue.
Yeah.
And your mother kicks you out because you're on the...
Yeah.
Why don't you just be like, hey, Maha, like, you know what I'm saying? I kind of got this interest in tech.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got this going on.
Right.
Why didn't you...
Yeah. No, you know, and I've tried explaining that.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously...
She was probably frustrated.
Yeah. And what I learned is people are visual learners. So a lot of people in this world like to see things in order to get an understanding of it. So if you tell someone you're an entrepreneur... They're like, yeah, whatever. You're preaching to the choir. Everyone's an entrepreneur. But now you got receipts. You getting features. You doing all this, which I'm getting. Now people are like, oh, now they're following you. Now they're listening. Now they're tuning in.
We've already talked about two things that is business worthy. You know what I'm saying? That you have done. Your mother kicks you out of the house. Like, that's freaking crazy.
Right.
You know what? When did it become bigger for you?
It became.
I know you mentioned the app earlier.
Right. Yeah.
So what happened with that?
Yeah, no worries. So yeah, it became big for me when I was in college. So obviously I went to college for ball, and after a few years, I stopped playing ball. I just, you know, switched the strategy in that sort of sense.
Yeah.
So I created an app site. It was literally based off of me being bored, you know, but I was still curious. Like, I wanted
to. What did this app do?
So what the app did was it increased hand and eye coordination in the user. A light would rotate around the cylinder and the user had to click on the light. So it's kind of like Cyclone Redemption, you know,
okay,
those arcade games.
Yeah, when you get tickets and
right,
shit like that.
Right.
But
so
iPhone.
Yeah, it's on an iPhone. So I basically, you know, kind of created the infrastructure for that.
How was that app doing for you?
It was good. It was good. Well, obviously, a week within inception, I had 5,000 downloads.
Wow.
Which was good. And it was crazy because it kind of helped me. That was the turning point. And that changed my whole trajectory as far as how I approached the market. So when I launched that app, I didn't know I had a following or a user base in outside the U.S. So my first 5,000 downloads were in Malaysia. It was in Asia and Europe.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I only had a few downloads in New York, which is crazy, right? Because that's where I'm from.
Right.
But
here you are creating, because I feel like even like with us creators, like even me on my podcast and things like that,
right?
I look at it and I'm looking at the numbers, and after I see 5,000 plays, and I'm like, who the fuck is listening to this stuff? You know, I check my analytics and stuff, and I got people hitting me up from Uganda,
right?
And I got people hitting me up from India, like, and people hitting me up from France. Like, it's just so much bigger than where you're at.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's so much bigger than where you're at. So for you, here you are making this app thinking, okay, I'm about to have New York on fire, and you have Malaysia on fire.
Exactly. And that was the goal. So that was the defining moment in my life. So I'll tell you another interesting story. So right a week after that, which I had 5,000 downloads, someone reached out to me. This is the craziest part, right? Someone reached out to me and said, I really love what you're doing with this app. I want to feature it on my website.
Okay.
I responded, sure. Like, I don't care. Yeah. I don't know who this guy is, what he does.
Add to my downloads.
Yeah, good. Do your thing. I don't care. Come to find out, a day later, my total downloads increased by 25,000.
What?
This app was featured on the largest arcade app review site in the world.
What?
And this guy reached out to me. I don't know how he got my information. I don't know how he got my email.
Are people paying for your app at this point, or is it free?
It was free, but I had in-app purchasing. So yeah, people were paying for it.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was getting money on the back end.
That's all Kim Kardashian motherfucking shit, and you got to buy the shirt. It's a free app.
Right.
But you got to buy the shirt, buy the shoes, buy the accessories. You $10,000 in because you got a fur mink on.
That's
and
a
shit
fact.
Like that.
It's called a sell-up, you know? Okay. And okay, that's what I was able to do. Yeah, yeah.
So this guy puts you on 25,000 downloads. Now what?
So, yeah, right after that, I was featured on a magazine in my town, in the town that I was in, where I went to school at, obviously, because I was still in college while I created this app. And I was featured in a news, you know, magazine, and I got a lot of press.
People
got
to be looking at you even in school like, yo, this guy's the man.
That was crazy. It's funny you said that because I was featured on a front page of my school article. And on the back of the page was the basketball team. How ironic is that, right?
Oh, you killing both markets.
You get what I'm saying? So that was kind of crazy.
You killing both markets.
Yeah. So so after, obviously, I launched that, which is crazy. One of my friends, his dad happened to work for BCG, and he was a VP there. And he was
BCG?
Boston Consulting Group. So it's like pretty big, right? Okay. And he was interested in the app, you know, so he wanted to purchase it from me. And he asked me for a number. Now, this is my first time being offered something. So if someone's asking you for a number, you're like, shit, like, damn, I don't want to go too high.
Because then they're not going to be interested.
You know what I mean? Because, yeah. And I told him 75.
So you didn't say, like, and this is another thing. And, you know, this is not to, like, say discredit you or anything.
No worries.
When it comes to, like, even me, like, when I'm hosting shit like that, I never know usually what number to give someone.
Right.
Like, you really don't know how to gauge your value.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I always realize I'll just be like, so what's your budget?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like, how much are you willing to spend? Or because, you know, and just give them like a bullshit excuse to not give in first. Like, I think this like negotiation 101. Like,
exactly.
You just want to hear their number first. But here you are in college. You know what I'm saying? You're playing ball. You're doing your thing.
Yeah.
And someone says, how much?
Yeah. Yeah.
First, you're like $75,000.
Yeah. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
You could have won 100, bro.
That's enough.
So what did he say? What did he say?
So he said, okay.
Straight up.
He said, okay. What he did was, I didn't even have a corporation set up. So I'll get, you know, obviously we're going
to
talk about this later on. So
that's who you are.
No, he set up a corporation for me.
What? Oh, that's love.
That's crazy, right? And he taught me how to, you know, obviously set up your company via corporation. Before that, I didn't know what a corporation was.
I was just a kid making a cool app.
That's it. I didn't know what a C Corp was. So he helped me set that up, and he gave me a check. Mm-hmm. And that check was pretty good.
Oh, shit.
So at that time.
What did he do with the app? Did he just...
Well, he pretty much turned it... And this is the thing. This is what I've learned, obviously, by conducting these deals. If someone's giving you, you know, some sort of, you know, capital for, or obviously buying something from you, you kind of have to assess what the benefit is on their end.
Yes.
So I felt like...
Yo, talk to the people,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah, no worries. So I felt like if he offered 75 to me, I can imagine how much he was going to make on the back end for
or
that.
How much it's worth to
or
him.
Or how much it's worth to him, right. So so he basically created an entire system for educating people with ADHD, attention deficit disorder, and Down syndrome, pretty much. And,
what?
Yeah, yeah. And he targeted the medical industry.
Oh, shit.
So
he turned your app into a fidget.
Yes, like, he literally, bro. Like, he turned it into something completely different.
What? That is...
Yeah.
You know, I like to always reference movies and shit like that, but that just really reminds me of the movie Facebook, where they was talking about the guy that started Victoria's Secret,
right?
And he sold Victoria's Secret for like $1 million or whatever, and like the guy he sold it to, like 3 years later, Victoria's Secret was like this $1 billion company. The guy says, "What the fuck?" and jumps off a bridge and commits suicide. What you did was you took that and you said, lesson learned. Like,
yeah,
there's no losses.
No,
especially,
no.
Well, you get a check for $75,000. You clearly didn't
you
lose.
Know you don't lose, right? But
you didn't take that and you didn't say, "Hey, I fucked up."
Right.
Blase blah. I can't do this shit no more. No, you took it and you said, "What's next?"
Yeah, yeah. And for me personally, Chris, like, failure is not an option for me. Like, I don't look at failure as I don't look at a loss as failure. I don't look at anything in life that I put my best foot forward in as me failing at something. I feel like everything's a learning experience. And what that taught me was a valuable lesson of my self-worth.
Wow.
So, I took that knowledge. I took what I, you know, from my loss from that end, which wasn't a loss, right?
Yeah.
And I applied it for my next endeavor. And I've been doing it ever since.
You have all of these different ventures and... different ways that you have made for yourself,
yes,
to generate revenue, and like from the apps to, like, you know, even sitting there making a blog site that got money. What the hell do you do now? And like, yo, you look like me. Like, right, I'll be right, honest right, with you. Right. Like, no, I'm not gassing. I know this is anonymous. This is Traveling Anonymous. This is Black Entrepreneur Anonymous. But I'm telling you right now, this guy got Jordans on, black skinny jeans. Like, he looked like... So what is it you do now?
Right. Well, I like to call myself a serial entrepreneur, right?
Okay.
I love creating value for people. So right now, I'm actually in the process of, we just launched like 6 months ago. We have 800 users currently right now,
wow,
producing $3,000 in revenue. And we're getting a lot of different venture-backed deals. But the company that I started was, it's called Bezel Hub. And what Bezel Hub is basically, an Uber or Airbnb or Rent the Runway for jewelry. So it allows people to rent out jewelry for money.
To interject really quickly.
Yeah.
I noticed, like, and I also noticed your Bezel Hub. I checked the
right,
the site out. I checked the Instagram out.
Right.
Your face doesn't appear anywhere.
No, it's nowhere.
So talk to me a little bit about the anonymity, about, like, right, keeping yourself anonymous, like not having your face. Like, why do you do that? Most people want to, like, display their face, take the glory, the shine, and, you know, become like this little celebrity within their brand,
right
you know what I mean? Why do you choose to remain behind the scenes and anonymous?
Well, part of that comes from me wanting to let the product speak for itself. I feel like personally, like, if I have a good product and people are liking it and they're interested in it, then I can step back. I don't have to be the face of the brand if I don't want to. I can, it actually opens the door to having other people become the face of the brand. But ultimately, I love operations. I love creating value. And I don't even have a Instagram for my personal self. Like, I don't have a social media.
You don't have your own account?
No.
No Twitter?
Nothing. No. I am anonymous as reflective of this show right now.
No, you know, and I'm in a world where a lot of people right. say they want to be, they don't want their face shown and they don't want this. As soon as the cameras come on, they jumping in front right. of, you know what I mean? Like you don't even have like a Facebook.
Right. Yeah. I'm fine with that. Again, I've been living a comfortable life and I haven't had, you know, any sort of, I guess, social media platform.
I actually want to speak to that more just for the right. simple fact that all of that time that I spend on Twitter, all of the time that I spend on Instagram, all of the time that I spend on Facebook, this is valuable time that I could probably be putting toward my own
exactly.
business. But I'm a personality. It's kind of different
right,
in a sense. But like, how much of a distraction is it? Is it trying to worry about how much likes we can get because we took a trip to Turks and Caicos?
Yeah, and it's the thing is, it's nothing wrong with social media, right? Okay. I'm not going to be the person to say I'm anti-social media. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem is when people aren't strategically building their brand.
Right.
So there's people on social media right now, you know, and it's fine. If you want to have a page just for your lifestyle or just to express who you are and how you feel, that's one thing. But I feel like a lot of people are doing or partaking in social media for the wrong reasons. You can't have 30,000 followers and you're not monetizing that. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Or you got $400 in your bank account.
Right, exactly.
This is why I understand. Y'all sit there and y'all post pictures all day. Y'all talk about how much followers y'all got. Y'all undermine people that don't have as much followers. And you know what I'm saying? You can't even afford to take a trip. You can't even afford to invest in yourself. You can't even afford to build a brand. And this is to speaking to people that have their own platforms. What are you using your platform for?
Mm.
How are you generating something to monetize or build a brand or build something that's going to last longer than, you know what I'm saying, a picture? You're only as hot as your last Instagram post anyway.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Once you post one picture, it's all about, all right, what's the next picture? And,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
If it
could get as much likes, and it's just so fucking fickle. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like,
well, we live in a fast-paced society, man. And obviously, people are needing constant feed. They're needing constant content.
Right.
And
constantly.
And constantly.
It's work.
Yeah, and it's work.
Every day.
I'd rather dedicate that same amount of time towards building value, real value in this world,
yeah.
Then do that. And I'm not saying this as a shot or, you know,
yeah.
to undermine what other people are doing. That has nothing to do with me. I'm just saying for me personally,
yeah.
I feel like focusing on my brand and focusing on creating value for everyone is more valuable to me than actually building a platform for myself.
So you got Bezel Hub.
Right.
You're the Uber of fucking luxury watches.
Right.
How is that working for you?
It's going well. Obviously, we've launched 8 months ago, so we have you know, decent growth. It's
okay.
Normal growth rate, pretty
okay.
much. We've gotten interest and offers from different incubators.
Okay.
Incubators are, you know, pretty much organizations that fund new startups.
Yeah, you gotta talk to us like we
yeah,
dumb.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We don't know what
okay.
all of this shit is. Like, you really gotta for dummies, like, you know.
Right,
what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah, yeah. No worries. So we've been getting a lot of offers for capital, like mm-hmm. money, people wanting to invest in our company.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a small team,
yeah,
which is crazy. I have three guys.
Yep.
I'm looking for women. So
hey man, listen,
yeah.
this is Trapping Anonymous, this is Black Entrepreneur Anonymous. If I could connect anybody with my man right here, trust me, you know, y'all know how to email me, DM me, hit me up. I will connect you if you're looking to intern, if you're looking to work, you know what I'm saying? If you're just looking to have a conversation, this guy has a lot of insight for you. He has a lot of knowledge about the game, and if you just want to learn in financial literacy, trust me, like, this is the guy you want to talk to. So I'll definitely be able to connect you guys
yeah.
if you have any questions personally for him. And, you know, I could definitely be that. Don't forget, quick plug, June 20th, Trapping Anonymous Live, SOBs. We live, baby. We going live. Get your tickets at SOBs.com.
Good.
Now,
yeah.
when I'm sitting here, I'm talking to you, I need to know.
Okay.
Because on the last episode, I spoke about someone who ran into a lot of money and, you know, unfortunately didn't know what to do with the money. So,
right.
you know, they, you know, lost a lot of it, or lost all of it, essentially. But a lot of people say, oh man, if I had $100,000, I'd be a millionaire. It's like, no, the fuck you wouldn't. What would you do with it, right? So you sold your first app for 75 grand.
Right, right.
What the fuck did you do? What was the first thing you did with your money?
Real estate. First thing I did, I bought a cash flow producing property. I did it for $10,000. I put $10,000 down into a unit. My credit score is pretty good, but you know, that's here, no there. But
that's important too. Build your credit.
Okay, yeah.
You gotta build your credit. People say fuck the credit and credit score, this, that, and the third. It's important.
It's very important. And
What does your credit score allow you to do?
Your credit score allows you to take on finance or debt, pretty much. That it's good debt. So you can finance anything pretty much. So for me personally, I did it with real estate. So I was able to buy a unit. I was able to leverage $100,000 of a property, of an asset, with only $10,000 of my personal capital. So that's what having good credit does. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the real thing with real estate. Real estate is extremely management and finance intensive. It's very, I would say, complex in that regard. So what you have to understand is to buy you have to understand how to buy the right real estate. So I'm not a fan of speculation. Like, I'll give you an example. You buy something for a dollar, you sell it at $2. You buy something at $2, you sell it at $3. That's what's going on in this market right now. Mm-hmm. What I do, I invest for cash flow. So I'll get a property, put $10,000 down, it pays me $300 a month. Everybody's like, oh, okay.
$300?
$300 a month.
Okay.
So for the average person, they're like, why would I put $10,000 down and get $300 a month back? Well, there's this thing called refinancing. You can refinance that money that you put down, mm-hmm. and you get that $10,000 that you initially invested back. And now maybe the mortgage will go up or whatever, but you have someone.
Yeah, doesn't that increase your mortgage?
Yeah, you have a tenant paying it down, number one. And number two, it goes down to $200. Now you have $200 for an asset that you bought with nothing. Because you took your $10,000.
Because you already broke even from the refinance.
So that's called an infinite return. So
every time you're getting money now, this is, oh my God.
Exactly. So it's real. It's
yo, very, help me. Yo, I want to like, you know what I mean? I want to start doing my own shit, right, man. Sit with me, man.
Yeah. To me personally, it's easy because I've done it. But anyone can learn how to do this. Like, literally, it just takes you to take the time out to actually get started and doing it. I feel like that's the major barrier that plagues our society, demographic, and society, culture, and our culture. Yeah,
talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of people they wanted me to bring somebody on here that was financially literate, that could actually teach them something about what to do with their money when they get their money. Also save your money, and when you get it, like, what, where do I put this stuff so it can grow, so it's not just sitting in a bank, you know what I mean? All of this information is very, very valuable, you know what I'm saying? So
And ultimately it's about a mindset. You know, I'll kind of talk into the psyche. We a lot of times allow fear to control everything that we do.
110%.
You know what I mean? So my approach, obviously, it's totally different from someone else's approach. But my approach is, listen, if I die tomorrow, does fear matter? did fear yesterday matter because I'm going tomorrow?
Right.
Anything that I do, if I'm not dead, I can recover from. That's my philosophy. So my approach to things is not volatile. I take calculated risk. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm taking a risk. I understand that I'm building wealth for not just me, but for people who, you know, I leave behind. And that's kind of my philosophy, and that's what kind of propels me to, you know, seek financial education and try to empower myself financially.
Briefly talk to me about being Black and being in your field, being an entrepreneur, being Black, and having to sit in front of all of these people that may not traditionally look like you. You know, I feel like in America, any non-white, you know, is going to have like their struggles. And what is it like being Black?
Yeah.
Being an entrepreneur and having to go to these conferences, these meetings, or just the jargon, the way you have to talk, the way you have to appear, like talk to us.
It's fucking hard.
What
you have to understand, obviously, beyond the facts, I'll state the facts. Obviously, less than 1% of engineers in Silicon Valley are minorities, are Black. Mm-hmm. there was a recent article that was released from, I'm not going to disclose the company, but they mentioned that they're not lowering their standards by, they're not going to lower their standards by hiring minorities. So it shows the philosophy and where we're still at, you know, as far as our mentality and how we view people. But I would say beyond that, just understanding, like you said, the jargon, understanding who to talk to, what places or where to go to seek out capital. Those are a lot of
things. So you're looking for these investors and things like that. Like, I'm sure you come up to them and you try to ask them, they probably just shoot you down. Like,
Yeah. So part of my sales tactic is to kind of appeal to, well, try to find a common connection in myself and the investor.
That's
so
important.
Yeah, that's very important.
Learning how to talk to people.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So for me personally, I would kind of identify something that that I see that, you know, I can talk to, I can talk about. So if someone has a nice watch on, I can compliment them on the watch, and that can get segmented towards my company.
Shout out to Bezel Hub.
Yes,
Bezel
sir.
Hub. Shout out to Bezel Hub. My man is really in here dropping the gems and like really doing his thing. About, have you ever worked a job?
I have. I've worked a job and I've been fired from a job. So I understand both sides and both angles of it.
I can imagine that you'll never go back.
Yeah. I can't. You know, my approach to a job, like I worked in finance after college. But my approach was that I wanted to be a partner. And I feel like when you're, you know, I guess it's very noble to be an employee, right? But it takes a long time to set yourself free financially doing that. But beyond that, you're not an equity partner. You're somebody who is coming in to do their job to make the company better. And if
that don't got nothing to do with you.
No. No,
and I always said, and people ask me like, cause I'll be on a ledge about shit, and I want to do like my own thing personally, but I always explain it like, yo, you go to work, you give 110%, you gonna get the same check. You give 100%, you gonna get the same check. You give 80%, you gonna get the same check. If you're working for yourself and you give 80%, you gonna get 80% back.
I agree.
But if you give 110%, you're going to get 110% back. And I think that is so important. And even when you speak to equity, we was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And we spoke to Omar from Beats. And he was just telling us, I mean, this guy, brilliant dude. And he was just talking to us. He was like, yo, they can't pay me no more. He said, they can't cut me a check no more. Now when we walking into these offices, we want equity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We want to know, how could we get a piece of what you have?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't about this quick, oh, okay, give me a, they offered Mark Zuckerberg, Google offered Mark Zuckerberg $1 billion.
Yep.
He said no.
Yep.
And look what he's worth now. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's very, very important that you said, you know what I'm saying, you was always looking. And it's nothing wrong with working a job.
Nothing wrong with that.
I just want to preach entrepreneurship more to my community.
And let me get into that as well, because you can be an entrepreneur as well.
Describe to us what that is.
So entrepreneur is someone who excels in a corporate space. So you kind of have an entrepreneurial mindset, but you're inside a corporation. So you can still be that, but you also have to understand that you have to set yourself financially free outside of work. You have to set yourself up like that.
Multiple streams of income.
Multiple streams of income. So
they said the average millionaire has 7 streams of income.
I agree.
Remember reading that.
And and that's true. It's very true. But yeah, I definitely think you need
where
to
Where do you see yourself going next? Where do you see Bezel Hub? Where do you see this taking you? Or ideally, where do you want this to take you?
So right now I see my company having a strong exit. An exit meaning an IPO.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
You
had to okay. All right. I'm sorry. We don't know, bro. All right. So an IPO is an initial public offering. Let me dive deeper.
Okay.
I want to print my own money. I want to be able to say, listen, if you guys want to invest in my company, you have to pay me a specific amount. I want to take that amount, pay what I invested into the company, and everything I get thereafter is 100% free return. So that's what I'm looking for, ultimately. And that comes with a strong exit. You being acquired by a company.
That's how you got to think now. Yeah. And a lot of people don't even understand how money works. They don't even understand
what system we live in.
Or what currency. Like we spend. Talk to us a little bit about the currency money talk that we had.
Well, see, here's the thing, right? We live in a debt-based society. So that means, I'll get to the history. In 1971, President Nixon took us off the gold standard. The dollar was backed by gold, meaning that if you took in your dollar, you can receive gold, which is real money. But after 71, money became 100% fiat, meaning it's debt-based, meaning that they can print to oblivion. So yeah, it's crazy. I wasn't even born in 71. Were you born in 71?
No.
I wasn't born in 71.
Was not here.
So it's crazy because we didn't even know the game we were in when we were born. So how are we supposed to educate ourselves on something that we don't know that we don't know? You understand? Like,
fucking my head up, bro. Fucking my head up. Nah, go ahead.
So basically,
they could basically just print whatever. And I think that's why that whole inflation thing happens the dollar amount goes down, it goes up. It's just always.
And asset prices always go up. So you see, you know, you think someone sold a home for $1 million, but in reality, you know, if you factor in inflation and stuff, they didn't make a return. So that's why I invest in cash flow producing properties. So I'll give an example. I'll go to Delaware, I'll go to Vegas, I'll go to North Carolina. I would purchase a property at $100,000 and the mortgage is $300. Now the going rent in that area is $800. You get that unit rented out and you get a profit of $500. So that's the game I play. I play a cash flow game. I don't play speculation.
When you got into this business, were you working somewhere? Or were you already just working for yourself?
You talking about Bezel Hub?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was working for myself.
Okay. So was there ever a point where you was working a job and things were booming on your personal venture side?
That's interesting.
Where you had to quit? Or was it always you weren't working and you was always doing your own thing?
So, all right. I can kind of, focus on that. Right. So when I was working with a company, I saved up every single penny I could. So, after expenses, after paying, rent or whatever, utilities, et cetera, what was left over was pure, profit for me. So I would save. Like, I wouldn't do anything. So, for a year straight, I didn't do anything. Literally, like, it's crazy because you kind of have to have a high EQ, which is emotional intelligence. And I guess having high emotional intelligence means that you understand the process of delayed gratification. So for me personally, I understood the bigger cause in the long term. So
we live in a society where it got to be like
instant gratification, everything on demand.
I need my 40 right now.
So for me, I kind of had a very poised kind of approach to how I moved as far as getting money.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
you was working this job, you was doing this for a year, you sat on that money, you saved up every dime that could.
And I got let go from that job.
And they fired you.
Yeah.
See, you didn't have to make the decision.
No, they did it for me.
you was forced into the jungle, know what I'm saying? Because I know, like myself, this is a lot of people like myself, they're working a job and they go into their job every day. It's not that they hate their job. They may hate their job, they may love their job. Whatever the case may be, they're scared to take that leap, right?
Right.
They are scared to say,
exactly,
fuck this, I'm going to follow my dreams.
Exactly.
They're scared to say, I can't do this anymore. I need to focus on something that I love, my passion, how to monetize it, get my money, and really become successful in what I want to do.
Exactly.
You, on the other hand, you was kind of forced.
Yes. Yes.
Into this situation. You know what I'm saying? So talk to us a little bit briefly about that transition for you, saying, okay, I went from having a job, having somewhere to get this constant income to now I don't have nothing and I have to create capital for myself.
Yeah, so I'll put it into perspective. It was the equivalent of taking the trip to Mecca for Muhammad Ali.
What?
Oh, for Malcolm X, sorry. Yeah, I mean, like, it was a very strenuous,
because that's what I want people to know, that it's not easy. It's
It was not easy.
It's not
going to
be this breezy process. No, you got to go through the jungle.
And a lot of it is psychological. So you're dealing with people saying, oh, so what do? And you have to tell them, oh, I'm unemployed. And you have to deal with what comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I never.
Or telling them that you're a rapper.
Right. I'm an aspiring.
My mixtape about to drop. Trust me, it's going to change the world. No shots. I'm just fucking with y'all.
Nah, but yeah, like you're an aspiring something. Yeah. You know what I mean? So people
that
like.
That was my whole thing. I wanted to be a rapper.
My word. Okay.
But I could not look somebody in their eyes when they asked me, what do you do? And I'm telling them I rap. Like I can't expect no woman to take me serious, right?
Mm.
Or anyone for that regard. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
No, I'm sorry. But
no, that's real. That's real. And for me personally, that's what I feel handicaps us. We become slaves to public perception, as Kanye West would say.
Right.
And we don't understand that, yo, you're responsible for your life. No one else is. Everyone else is going to have an opinion of how you should do things. But ultimately, you know where you need to go. You need to follow that inner compass that you feel that's inherent in you. And that's God sent. And, you know, whatever faith you believe in, you got to have a strong belief in yourself and of a higher power, period.
What's the best part of all this?
Oh, everything comes around full circle. And guess what? You're going to be fine. You're going to be okay in the long run.
Yeah.
It's going to work out.
But I'm talking about for you personally.
Oh, for me.
What has been the best part of all this?
Freedom. The ability to say, I want to move to LA and just do it.
And just get up and go.
And just get up and go. Like, I've lived in, you know, Marina Del Rey at 23 years old.
Wow.
You know, like, I've been doing this for a while.
Yo,
now.
Listen, he ain't bullshitting, man. He flew me out here, man. He ain't bullshitting. We sitting up in the hotel right now. Like, you ain't bullshitting. Like, this is real, yo. Nah.
Yeah, you know how Kanye be like the Benz Marina Del Rey coasting?
Yeah.
It's funny because I was really living that life. Like, really living that life. And it's funny. And I didn't have to look over my shoulder. And it's funny. I can kind of go back to the whole notion of trapping and being anonymous. Like, we kind of, I guess, look at it as a negative, but trapping can mean anything.
That's a
anything
fact.
You do that you put your all in that's and that fact. You're hustling for and you see the end result in mind, that's trapping.
Mm.
You feel me? So for me personally, I was always in the trap.
Mm-hmm. That's how we grew up.
And yeah, that's a fact. And I've always been grinding.
Yeah.
And I've always been anonymous, which is kind of ironic.
So, that's why I feel like this is so perfect, you know what I mean?
Because
you got so many business owners. But also, I also like to look at it like, what the fuck does the lady that owns Popeye's Chicken look like?
No one knows.
What does the person that owns KFC look like?
Do you guys know who David Tepper is? No one knows who he is, but this guy just made $700 million last year. And we look at, you know, and it's no shot. And I love, you know, these artists and whatever. But we look at these artists and we see their net worth being $800 million. And
we put them on a pedestal.
And they're like the epitome of our culture as far as success.
Yeah.
And these guys made that in 1 year. Imagine how much their net worth is.
Mm.
And this is stuff that they're not advertising. It's a bad year for them. This guy was mad because it was I believe $500 million off of what he normally makes.
Wow.
So this is crazy because, you know, the media and whatever glorifies the success of our, you know, of people who we look up to.
Right.
But there's people who are anonymous.
The hip-hop Forbes list.
Yeah. And there are people who are anonymous who are making extremely like high amounts of money.
You know, that's why I admire you, man. I really do. Because, you know.
I appreciate that.
You're not sitting here looking for the glory, you know what I'm saying? You do got a nice BMW, but I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah,
but like, no, you're not sitting here looking to be praised on, you know, a bunch of million, have your face plastered everywhere, you know what I'm saying? You're literally getting to the work, you're literally getting to the grind, you're getting to the hustle. Like,
you've
taught yourself how to code.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even point to that, yeah. I taught myself how to do front-end development, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Most people, I can't sit in front of a computer and try to sit there and focus unless it's on Twitter, which is horrible.
But it's funny, everything that I'm doing right now came from trial and error and the ability to be curious. So this goes back to, you know,
childhood.
Yeah, childhood. Like, I've always had that curiosity of what is next, what's out there, you know, the unknown.
Yeah.
And that's followed me to today. So there are a lot of traits in all of us that we don't even know that are inherent in us that we need to identify, because that's your genius, that's your gift, and that's what's going to take you to the top.
Any regrets in any of this, all of this? Any regrets or anything you would have done differently? Looking back in retrospect, you know, hindsight is 2020.
Man, I'd have started earlier.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Are we going to disclose your age, or you don't want to? It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
How old is he?
27. I just turned 27 this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's very young to have your own company and be living out here in glorious LA. Black Entrepreneur Anonymous. Yes, I'm so proud of us, man.
Yes, sir. I am too.
Real talk. I'm so proud of us, man. I'm so proud of this episode. I'm so proud that we got to sit here and kick it. And hopefully we can educate so many different people on this platform. You know, Trapping Anonymous has so many listeners, and I thank God for that. And I just hope that, you know what I'm saying, y'all keep supporting me. Y'all want to reach out to me, y'all want any more information, like I said, I'm open to share contacts with you. And, you know, we're going to treat this like one big family. I'm not going to, you know, close anybody out of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Do remember, live show, June 20th, Trapping Anonymous, we inside of SOBs.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate everybody. I appreciate you for coming here, chopping
it
up with me,
man. Appreciate it.
Anything else you want to leave?
Light plug, bezelhub.com. Make sure you log on.
Bezelhub.com.
Yeah, if you have a watch you want to list, feel free to list it.
You heard the story. Now it's time to really look at what this man does. I'm telling you, you're going to be fascinated.
Yes, sir.
Because I was taken away by it as well. So bezelhub.com, bezelhub on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Google that, check that out. See what my man is about. This is Trapping Anonymous, Black Entrepreneur Anonymous. Let's get it. This episode of Trapping Anonymous is engineered by Bunchania Lunsford.